Hello and welcome to another episode of HD Movie Talk. I'm your host, Deans, with the most beans. And as always, I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, who is a great friend of mine and a confidant, Fluffy Duffy.
That's me.
Hello,
I'm a confidant.
Confidant.
You know, I'm really excited to talk about what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah,
I have some opinions.
Today, we're going to talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp, all of the Quantumania.
And initially, what we had planned to do for this episode was just essentially an extended review.
Yeah, just a you know, as we do when mostly a new films that we're interested in come out.
Mm-hmm. But we were unpleasantly surprised by the reception of this movie. And I can say by the movie itself. So we're actually going to do a Silver Linings.
Yeah, so what is a Silver Linings?
A Silver Linings episode, for what we do, is we take a bad movie, we talk about the good, we talk about the bad, and then we try and fix it.
Mm-hmm. That is true. So, we have not communicated our thoughts at all. I watched like the first 5 seconds of your review, then stopped myself.
Okay. What did you hear from my review? Do you remember?
You just said it was a nothing film.
Oh. How do you feel about that statement?
It's true.
Okay.
The first question I was going to ask, for the listeners, we should probably say, I left the cinema 25 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, my screening finished less than 25 minutes ago.
And I saw it around, like, 14 hours ago.
Okay. So, Harlan may have more developed thoughts, but mine are still more correct. So, when you described what the silver lining is, you said we take a bad film. My first question for you is this a bad film?
In terms of MCU, definitely.
But is it a bad, were you like, oh, that's a bad film?
When you look at Eternals, are you like, is that's a bad film?
I like Eternals more than you do, though.
What about Thor: The Dark World?
Yeah. I think this film is better than 95% of the films we've done in this series.
That's true.
Like,
but I think Spider-Man 3 is better than this.
I knew you were going to say that. I reckon, yeah, it's similar to Spider-Man 3. I'm looking at the list. I think Cat in the Hat's better than this.
Oh, yeah!
Anyway, so before we do what we usually do and do the good and bad, we just give our overall thoughts. Spoilers ahead. Just like a couple sentence summary.
They built it up. Marvel themselves built it up to be something huge. It wasn't. It was forgettable. And
that's because all of it happened so small.
And there was no consequences.
Yeah. But I think, I don't think like what Marvel were building up to be and what the impact was on the rest of the MCU makes it a bad film.
No, you're right. But it does, like, that's fair. But give your couple sentence summary.
I think it was fine. I think on TikTok you said it was a very nothing film, and I think that's about it. I think like parts of it worked. There was nothing where I was like, wow, this is awful in it for me. There is no bits of it which I really disliked. I thought it was mostly just fine and a bit bland and a bit just underwritten.
There is one part of this movie that I think is the worst of the MCU.
Wow.
I think this movie has the worst ending of all time.
Of the MCU?
Of the MCU.
I was going to say, of all time is a very...
Yeah, no. There's definitely worse endings. There's The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Anyways.
I'm trying to remember. The Gwen Steph is so good in that film. Anyway.
Yes, but that's not the ending. Anyways. What was I going to say? Oh, by the way, we should address there's going to be spoilers in this video.
I've already said that.
Oh, you have you said that? Okay. It doesn't make sense. Why the frickety frack does Kang die? It doesn't make sense. No. Hold on. Okay. This is what I was thinking about late last night. The ending is Scott sacrifices himself. The portal closes. Michelle Pfeiffer was building up as this is our only chance to escape. Like, once this closes, like, we're done. And then the Wasp and Ant-Man are stuck in the quantum realm, and you're like, oh my God, these are the consequences. Ant-Man and the Wasp are going to be stuck here, and they're going to be like the new queen and king of the quantum realm. And then Cassie just somehow opens up the portal again, and they come back. And then the ending of the movie, the only consequences from the entire movie is now Ant-Man's like, oh, what about the other Kangs? Like, he would have been able to know that if Michelle Pfeiffer just told him what happened. There were.
I know that scene itself was bad. You're right.
I didn't like King's death. I thought King's death was unearned.
I don't have an issue with the death at all. I think you're right when you say about them being stuck there and immediately freed is stupid. But I think the death is fine. Like, I don't think there's anything egregious there, and I don't think this Kang is dead. I think this Kang is still the main Kang we've got to worry about.
And also, I hate to be that guy, but
You don't like the women, do you?
no, that's not it. Somebody should have died in this movie.
Yeah, but if it was a good film, I don't think you'd be saying that.
That's true, but if somebody died, it would have made it a good movie. Like,
I don't think it would have. I don't think that would have fixed all
I
the issues.
legitimately think it would have solved a lot of the issues that I have with the movie. Because if they were to kill, like, let's say Michael Douglas's character, who I was convinced he was going to die.
Yeah.
Because we have that awesome shot of him standing and all the ants rushing in from behind him, that was one of my favorite parts of the movie. So I thought I was like, oh, he has his big hero shot. He's about to die. And I feel like that would have added a lot more emotion to the final battle between Ant-Man and Kang. Also, this movie totally, this, you know, people say that, like, oh, Marvel spoils their movies in the trailers. This, like, the second trailer for Ant-Man totally spoiled.
No, yeah, there's a really good video by Nando V Movies I watched about that, about like how it gives away the setup and the payoff of certain moments. Anyway, let's rein it in a bit.
Sorry, I went off on a
No,
little bit of
that
my time tangent.
let's start with the good, like we always do, and say things we liked about this film.
Okay. Good. Starting off, I really like the redesigns of the suits, specifically the Wasps
Yeah,
and
I think the hole on the
Cassie's.
chest was a bit weird.
The hole in the chest was a little bit weird, but Cassie's suit, this is awful. But I was thinking about it when I was watching the movie, and I was like, if they were to release these three suits in Fortnite, I would get Cassie's.
That is awful. Okay,
She has
the good.
cool Converse, which doesn't make sense
Yeah,
at all,
yeah, yeah,
but it
yeah.
looks cool.
Yeah, because it
So
has to be airtight. So, but they kind of forget about that in the quantum realm. Like in the first Ant-Man, they're very strict on, like, if you take off the helmet, then you die. But it doesn't matter if you do. Yeah. Okay. My first good thing. I'm gonna start maybe a bit left of field.
Okay.
I'm gonna go MODOK.
I did like MODOK.
I think it was so stupid. And I think all those beats worked, and he looked funny.
He does look funny.
And like, it's just ridiculous. And I was like, I am disappointed that he died, but that's just me thinking about the future and not about the film itself. I think within the film itself, it works.
Yeah, within the cell, I think they did it perfectly. Like, I don't know, it's strange because, like, you see it and, like, you're like, oh, that CGI looks bad, but legitimately there's like MODOK is the Uncanny Valley. Like, yeah. He's not supposed to look human, so it's going to look jarring. And I think they did the best they could with it. So I can't really complain about that. Good. I do too, but like, it just like didn't look real, but it wasn't necessarily supposed to.
Okay, what's your next good thing?
My next, the probability storm.
Yeah, that was.
I thought that entire sequence was awesome. And especially once, like, Scott Lang is like freaking out and he has to like calm down, listen to his daughter's voice, and then all the Langs do like team up together. I thought that was like, it was really impactful. Like, in like any probable universe, Scott Lang still, you know, I thought that was really awesome cool.
Robbins, yeah.
Also, I thought it was really funny that out of all the probabilities, he turns into Ant-Man, besides one where Baskin-Robbins doesn't find out.
Baskin-Robbins always finds out. They just forgave him in one. So, this is stupid, what I was about to say. I really lost my train of thought, then I refound it and went, oh, wait, no, what I'm about to say is stupid. On the way to the cinema, I kept laughing at this dumb joke I was making about how the plural of Ant-Man is Ant-Man. And then in that scene, I was giggling to myself because I was like, haha, Ant-Man.
That's pretty good. Did you see this with Will?
Ant-Man. All these Ant-Men are here.
Did you see it with Will?
Yes.
Good. Do you know what he thought about it?
He enjoyed it.
Good. I was about to sneeze. Okay.
Good thing. Okay, I'll take the easy one, as you haven't said it yet.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how we haven't said it yet.
Kang.
Yeah.
Big old Johnny Majors is a great actor, and I think everything about it worked.
Yep. I don't think I like how they told his story. My friend had an issue that like Kang wasn't introduced till like halfway into the movie, but I think it kind of built the suspense really well. Like,
and I don't think it damaged the film at all. Like,
me either. I do think the first half of the movie was kind of hindered by the amount of exposition it had to do. Like, I could see myself in the future watching it being really bored of that part.
I don't know if there is much exposition. It's just a lot of faffing, I think. Like, I don't think there is loads of exposition. There's just a lot of alluding, I think, is the issue. I think on rewatches, you're going to be annoyed that they just keep alluding to things where you already know the answer.
Yeah, I rewatched all the Ant-Man movies and Endgame leading up to the. Oh yeah, thank you. and I this one's the worst one in my opinion.
Wow, I haven't rewatched them in a while, so I won't say.
But leading on, one thing I really liked moving on is the ants, the smart ants.
Yeah,
like. They were introduced in the very beginning of the movie, and I'm like, oh, that's going to be like a plot device later on. And I didn't necessarily know how, but I thought it was really cool how they became like another civilization and all like, I thought that was really cool.
I do have thoughts about that for the rewrite.
Really?
Yeah, but it's just ways to, you know, improve it because I do like it. I like just the weirdness of the quantum realm, and they kind of lent into that. Like, I don't think it all worked, but I think it's the right direction to go.
Me and my friend, when we were on our way home, were kind of talking about how this movie really gives Star Wars prequel vibes.
Yeah.
And in good and bad ways. Like, the Star Wars prequels are so good at world building. Like, they do a lot of that, and I think this movie does a lot of world building, and that's pretty cool.
I think overall it works pretty well.
Yes, I agree. But then there's, like, there are some parts where it's like, there was one comment on my review I posted on TikTok that I am not really going to be able to explain, but they said that when they were watching the movie, they felt like they were viewing it, and they weren't in the world. And kind of 100% like agreed with that. Like, I don't, something with like the green screen that they use makes it feel like
100%, I do have an issue with the with just every, I watched Spider-Man No Way Home this week, and I was kind of taken aback by how, like, I still think it's a phenomenal film, but I was just taken aback by how just flat and lifeless everything in that film looked.
And that's a lot of this movie.
Yeah, and this film is that even more so. But just I can't think of the last time the MCU didn't have that kind of flatness to it. But it just seems to be increasing.
Do you think this movie used the volume in any capacity?
Yes.
Do you know that, or like you just
I don't assume? Know that. I just really like a lot of that quantum stuff, I think, was volume. I'll Google it, see if we've got an answer. I know Thor did, and Thor kind of looked the same as this in like certain bits. Like when they're on the boat, was like the same kind of energy as this.
And for people who don't know what the volume is, it's a thing they use in The Mandalorian, where it's essentially a huge room filled with LED, that the walls are filled with LED lights that can put up like a wall or whatever of like you can put yourself in whatever environment you want with the LEDs.
Yeah, it is the they did use it.
They did? Okay. Yeah.
It was kind of pioneered by The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
The Mandalorian uses it great. Like the volume can really work, but I think it needs to be well realized to work. And I think it really works in The Mandalorian, but in a lot of other stuff, I don't think it worked. And like Peyton Reed worked on The Mandalorian, so he's used the volume before.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Peyton Reed?
I don't think he's very good at directing actors.
Interesting.
Like, I think all the shooting and all that kind of stuff was fine, you know? Like, it was what you would expect. It's a John Watts. It was, like, fine. But I think there was something weird about the way the characters were performing.
It's also kind of hard because they're like, this is really one where they're all like just talking to tennis balls sort of a thing.
Yeah, but there are directors that manage that, and I think he is the common denominator. Like, I don't think we can blame Michael Douglas because Michael Douglas is great, and I don't think we can blame Michelle Pfeiffer because Michelle Pfeiffer is great.
Speaking of Michael Douglas, he was this is my favorite movie with Hank Pym.
Yeah. Okay, do we have more good stuff to say? I think the big battle at the end is pretty good.
The big battle at the end is good, yeah.
The scale works.
I really liked this movie utilized, like, I really felt like Ant-Man and the Wasp especially had a great understanding of their suits. Like, they went into big to small to medium size, like, so much, and I felt like, oh, that's cool. Like, it looks like they're, like, actually professionals using this, not, like, all willy-nilly.
Now I think about it, this film had less fun size stuff than the other two Ant-Man films. Well, like, what first Ant-Man, you get, like, the tank that comes big, and you're like, oh, that's a bit of fun. And then Ant-Man and the Wasp is just entirely, I think, like, just fun. Oh, this thing's small and this thing's big, where, like, you have his lab and you have the cars and you have, like, the battery in the lab, and I think, and the Pez dispenser. And I think Ant-Man and the Wasp is the best film for fun size stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess it's difficult to do here because it all takes place in the quantum realm, but...
And I gotta be honest, Ant-Man's little gang that he had, I felt them, their lack of appearance.
David Desmalchin is in this film.
Oh, is he like the voice, like the whole guy or whatever?
He's something like that, yeah, but I'll check who. Yeah, it was a shame not to see them. I liked seeing Jimmy Woo.
Yeah, that was nice.
Okay. Are we moving on? He's called Veb. Which one's Veb?
I think Veb might be the guy that, like, really wants holes.
You can say that again. I don't know what that means. Should we move into the bad?
Yeah, let's move into the bad.
Okay, try and guess what my main bad thing is, because I don't think you're going to get it. Yeah, Veb is that. That's David Desmalchin. Wow.
Wow. Good guess, Harlan. Thanks, Harlan. What is your least favorite person? The Michelle Pfeiffer?
No. I think she's pretty good.
No, she was good. I just got so irritated that they used, like, the, like, oh, she doesn't want to say anything about it, even though that could have solved the entire movie.
I've changed my mind about what my least favorite thing is.
Okay, what's your least favorite thing?
But what I was going to say is the Wasp is just so underused in this film.
She's underused in every film.
But this one is so much worse.
Yeah.
Like, two thoughts on the fact she's underused. I think Veb has more lines than her in this film.
Yeah.
And
her suit's sick.
Yeah. I said to Will on the way home that if you just changed one line at the start of the film and then you told someone going into this film that Hope and Scott were brother and sister instead of dating, then it would not change a single thing and you would view the film exactly the same.
Yeah.
And like, you would not notice a thing.
Yeah, and like, honestly, like, why are they calling this movie Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania?
You can't go back on it. Like, I did think that, but you can't go back and call it Ant-Man Quantumania. You can't just... I think once you...
Right, I want to call Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. I like the Wasp. I think she's a cool character, but they just don't. I don't know. It's...
Literally, if you just made them brother and sister, nothing would have changed. It would have just... That's my... My point is the relationship just does not work. And it is not like... I mean, I don't want to say it's not believable. I just think they don't, like, give it 10 seconds of time.
Yeah.
Do you want to give your a bit thing you don't like, and then I'll give my actual least favorite thing?
Another thing I don't like was... It was the... Like, the Viking lady.
Oh, yeah.
I thought anytime the movie focused on her, it kind of, the movie really screeched to a halt.
Yeah, I think if you had just cast someone like known in that, it would have been like, it would have worked to an extent and just give like a more like definitive performance.
It, and also it would have just like given me a reason to care about her character.
Yeah. I did like William Jackson Harper, but they just wasted him.
I was really hoping for him to be like, my name is blah 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 Richards, and I was gonna be like, whoa.
Apparently, the actress who plays the Viking lady is in The Mandalorian. Oh, she's just a Imperial officer with Moff Gideon. Okay, my least favorite thing about this film.
That's not my least favorite thing, by the way. I'm not sure what my least favorite thing is.
My least favorite thing in the film is the fact that only one character has a character arc. And it's MODOK.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, who has a character arc
no
in this movie?
No character changes. They just go into the Quantum Realm for an afternoon and they pop back out and they're like, oh, that was something, wasn't it?
Yeah, everybody's like, wow, that was weird. I sure hope everything's going to be okay now.
And, like, it's so obvious that that's true because the film starts and ends in exactly the same way. And nothing. There's a word if you have, like, a mirrored ending. Like, because the film starts and ends with this Scott Lang monologue. And actually, mm-hmm. that's something I liked at the start. I think that's funny, and I think it works in the opening.
Yes, I agree.
But the end one is just exactly the same, and I think you have to change it to like show the character's grown on this journey.
And I know,
like,
and
now
like
he gives his daughter more freedom or whatever.
I felt myself getting irritated at how they would be like, they would interrupt it twice, being like, "But is everything okay?" It's like, no.
I did think that was quite funny. I like
that got me a little irritated. That got Harlan frustrated.
I think it was quite funny. I was kind of like, oh, is Kang going to come back? Probably not. I enjoyed that. And I don't think, like, I think an interesting thing I see bring up every now and then is that how Captain America never has an arc in any of his films and he stays consistent. But it's done differently in the way that the world changes around him. Just
right.
Through his willpower. But here, just nothing changes.
Because Scott Lang is a flawed character. Like, an argument could be made that Captain America isn't a flawed person.
Yeah.
Like, he is the perfect soldier.
He is like Superman in the way that he's kind of just...
Yeah. But Scott Lang, like, he started off an ex-con, and then he had to...
Started off an ex-con. He started yeah. off as a con, and then became an ex-con.
But... I think that's, like, really what my statement of this movie feels like nothing comes from.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What else don't I like? I think that's the big one.
I felt like Bill Murray was pretty underutilized.
Yeah, but Bill Murray was never going to do anything.
That's true. But I love Bill Murray.
I think maybe market the film a little differently. But you no, but also you would market it like that, wouldn't you? I don't know what the solution to that is my point.
I think another big thing is, like we said, like the volume stuff. Yeah. It feels...
Yeah, just the look of the quantum realm.
Like, you take all the... Like, you take Paul Rudd out of the shot and you just have the quantum realm CGI people in the CGI universe. It looks freaking cool. Like, it is a cool looking place. Mm-hmm. But you put them in there, you layer them on, and it just looks slightly off. And you can't really tell why. And
I think you could have done it more practically.
Yeah, probably.
There were bits like that bar where I was like, you could just do this entirely practical, but I can tell this is fake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the one place where I was like, oh, this is real, was, like, Kang's, like, throne room.
Yeah.
That's, like, the only real set that I'd go, oh, like, this thing. And then even then you have the massive windows of the... Like, I'm not saying you have to do all practical sets. Like, look at Avatar. But...
That's true. But Avatar, it's almost all completely CGI people. Yeah.
But you have to do it well.
Let's see. What else? Again, I really didn't like the ending of the movie.
Yeah.
One thing I did like that I don't think I really talked about much is I like Cassie in the movie.
Yeah.
I thought Cassie was...
I do have a thought. Okay. My thing with Cassie is, I don't know if this is just like me reading trailers wrong. When she gets like, she's been in prison and all that stuff at the start.
Yeah.
And then it turns out, oh, I was in prison because I was sticking up for homeless people and I was in a peaceful protest and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel it kind of undermines the argument a bit of making her a bit of a rebellious kid and a flawed.
That's true.
I think the relationship between Scott and Cassie worked in this film, but I think it could definitely be improved. Because there was not really any conflict there.
There started out being conflict. The way the movie started out, it seemed like Scott has become too hyper fixated on being a celebrity and being loved.
Yeah.
And he's lost his ways on being like saving the world. But Cassie is like so disappointed in him. That's how it started. And then it ended with him saving the world, but there was no like reconnection. There was no like talk being like, you know what, Cassie, you're right. I need to.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm going to start being a vigilante or whatever.
Like you said, like the mirrored beginning and ending. Like, the way the movie ends, it's assumed like, oh, he's going to go on another book tour. You know what I mean? There's
Yeah, he's reading his new book about his time in the quantum realm. Okay, so, should we just move on to fixing it?
Yeah.
Okay, first, I think we did this the last time we did an MCU film. I think... it needs to end in relatively the same way. I think we can change characters' outlooks, like we've been discussing.
Oh.
But I do think it needs to end in a very similar place. Like, I don't think we can.
One more thing.
Mm-hmm.
The end credits thing with the... all the Kangs.
Council of Kangs, yeah.
Council of Kangs. What they're like is, oh, they killed the exiled one, which means they now know about the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was your idea.
Yeah. It's kind of like, oh no, they're getting too close to us. Yeah.
But, I mean, there have been three other movies. There are three other projects where the multiverse was discovered.
Yeah, okay. My argument would be number one, Multiverse of Madness and No Way Home. Nothing in that films would impact the Kangs and they would care about. I'd say, I think that's a
That's
fact.
true.
And then I guess you could make the argument for Loki because a Kang is killed in that. But I would just say, like, oh, who knows when these Kangs came together and all of this takes place outside of time. So, whatever. Like,
Right.
I don't think it's a massive complaint. I did really enjoy the second end credit scene with Victor Timely.
Yeah, that was cool.
Apart from Iron Lad, to my knowledge, we have seen all the main Kang variants now.
I'm interested to see like what like little Easter eggs people can spot out in that.
Yeah. I think I do think that Kang the Conqueror, the Kang in this film will still be the main villain.
I hope so.
I think so. I think maybe you'd get half a movie of them fighting the Council of Kangs and like, oh no, this is freaking impossible, and then Kang the Conqueror shows up, kills them all.
I could see it being a thing of like, there's only one way we can defeat these Kangs. And
Yeah.
that's where we get the exiled one. Something like that.
Yeah, that he'll be back. Last thing on, or maybe you do the reverse where Kang the Conqueror is the villain in Kang Dynasty and then Secret Wars is all the Kangs. I think that would work. This is completely off topic, but we're talking about the end credit scenes before we get into fixing it. As soon as the film ended, I turned to Will and I did a I'm not gonna be able to do it now. I'll try. I did a Owen Wilson impression. And you can ask Will, it was phenomenal. I just, I'm not going to be able to do it, but I've got this thing I've realized recently. When I watch a film, like the second the film ends, I can do a good impression of something in that film. Because when I went to watch Puss in Boots, I did a really good Antonio Banderas Puss in Boots voice for the next like half hour. And then after I'd like been away from the film for too long, I just lost it and then I couldn't do it.
Ah, Puss in Boots is so good.
Puss in Boots. See, I can't really do it now. I'll try my
I
own.
could see a little sparkle there.
I'll try. It was us. Maybe you made him out to be some kind of terrifying thing. And the first conversation Will and I had after leaving the film was Will was like, "I'm not letting them get rid of more Mobius until he gets his jet ski." And then I said, "I'm not letting them get rid of Mobius until he kisses Loki."
I think you're more valid on that one than
They
Will.
should kiss.
They should kiss.
It'll be
I would
so good.
really enjoy that.
Anyway, fixing this film. What I think we need to figure out what elements stay.
Yes.
And like, are we keeping the plot roughly the same?
I think we have to. Like I like the rough plot.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong. Yeah, I would add to it. So, there's two main things I would add. Number one is this Scott and Cassie relationship. I haven't gone back to check because I literally just watched the film. But in the trailer, there's lines about Kang being like, "I can give you time back, Scott Lang," and
Yes.
like, and then everyone was like, "Oh, he's gonna let Scott go back to his young daughter." And I think that should be the offer in the film.
I agree, but that seems a little bit out of character.
For Scott.
Right, it, like if that like let's say we have the movie the exact way it came out, and if the deal was instead of you do this or I'll kill your daughter, it was you do this and I will give you time back with your daughter. I don't think that would work. I think we need to set.
Sorry.
No, continue.
I think the reason that wouldn't work is because there is no conflict between Cassie and Scott in this film. I think if you in the opening you had them not like getting on and like Cassie being in prison for like something bad or like just create more conflict between them, I think that could work. Because the
Right.
second they're in the quantum realm, they just get on fine.
I think it'd be interesting if like Cassie was resentful of him because he was gone all this time and he's not saving the world anymore. That's what Cassie wants to do. And Scott had more the mentality of I can't be saving the world because I need to spend time with my daughter and like this is the best way I can do
Yeah.
that. if there was that conflict, I think that'd be really interesting. And then Scott's kind of like, there's no way for me to win over my daughter. The only way I can do is to go back in time. And then at the end, he realizes that, you know, they come to an understanding, they help save the world, and then they like each other. I think that would be really interesting from what we got.
Yeah, and I think you can resolve this conflict by having Janet step in and basically be like, and then you do the reveal of Kang offered me the same thing, like the exact same thing. I lost out on 30 years with my daughter, and he offered me to have that back, and I turned him down because of this, this, and this. And I think that would add depth to both Scott and Janet as characters.
And I think that can be done. Like, that exact moment that would be done would be when in the original movie it's Janet, Scott has the ball, and Kang is
Yeah,
there.
the engine.
But then at that point, when Scott is convinced by Janet, it's too late and he takes the ball away.
Yeah,
I
and then
think,
Kang takes it anyway and
yeah.
traps them. Okay, this is off topic. Like, there is gonna never gonna be an answer to this, just and the answer is just quantum realm logic. Scott Lang was stuck in the quantum realm for 5 years. How come he just experienced it for 30 seconds? It just no this
Well, it's
I
5 minutes.
oh yeah. Okay, sorry, I take it back. I think the MCU is just getting too there are too many universes.
There are. I think the logic of this is, well, where Scott was in the quantum realm, time moves differently, but when you go really, really far in it, it moves the same.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Does it move the same? Were they in there for like a week? Were they in there? If you they were like, oh, we were in there for 6 months, then I wouldn't change anything, you know?
I think it's fair to assume that they're in there for the same amount of time as the real world because Janet aged the same amount.
That's true.
Yeah. That's my answer. So, what's next? What's next on our
Okay.
list of fixing?
I have an idea for a subplot for this film.
Okay.
You have a subplot. So I think, firstly, the way you didn't like the whole Janet and doesn't tell them anything.
Right.
I think you have a subplot where Janet lands separately from Hope and Hank. And then you bring Janet in with Scott a bit earlier on, maybe. And I think that completely gets rid of the whole her hiding stuff thing. I don't know. Now I think about it. Anyway, my idea for a subplot is that
Okay.
Hank and maybe Hope as well have to go out and find these ants just to give them something to do. And I think then it makes sense why they show up to the battle so late. Why Hank shows up to the battle so late? Because he could have, well, I don't know, you know, they never explain why he was there from the start. And I
Right.
think that would make the reveal of Hank showing up with all these ants even cooler, because then everyone else would be like, where are these ants come from?
I think I agree with you. Some we need to change something with Janet to make it make more sense. And I think if we were to send Hank and Hope on their own, one of them needs to know about the quantum realm.
That's true. I think you could just, could you not just say, oh, Hank, you know, has done his research, or yeah. There's still no reason why I think Janet never told them anything, but there's no way you can do it that she has really.
Do you think it would make sense if everybody knew Janet told people there were dangerous people in the quantum realm that she needed to escape from? Let's say everybody knew that. Nobody really knew the extent of it, but everybody knew that.
Yeah, I just think then the portal thing would make less sense.
Right, but out of sort of defiance and frustration with her dad, Cassie tries to send like a two-way messaging system because she knows there's people that need help down there,
yeah,
but
that
nobody's doing
works.
anything.
Yeah.
So then, and then that goes wrong. Do you think like
Yeah, that works. Now I think about it, the whole thing with them getting into Quantum Realm was so vague and weird. I suppose with MODOK being like, oh, I found your signal.
So do we want to do choose that?
Yeah.
Because I
Yeah.
think then, like, you know, that would make sense. Like, Janet warned everybody. Everybody knew the threat there, but she was very vague because it was traumatic for her. I think that would work. It'll just a smidge better. But the only issue we'd have to face now is everybody would have, like, sort of a Star-Lord moment where everybody kind of hates Star-Lord for ruining everything.
I don't think you do need that because I don't really think she did anything that wrong.
In this movie, she definitely didn't.
Okay, but what did she do wrong in our movie?
Well, she knew there was dangerous people down there and
Yeah, but
she
she
was
shared that
risking
with
it.
them, so.
Well, Cassie or Janet? I'm
Well,
talking
I
about
thought.
Cassie.
Oh, sorry, Cassie did. Yeah. No, but I think her intentions are still good, you know?
Yeah.
So she's trying to save them.
Okay. So we got that. Those are two big
Okay.
issues.
I've got an idea for
Yeah.
how you can give the Wasp more to do.
Okay.
I think you just send MODOK after that team.
The Hank and
Yeah.
Wasp. Okay.
And I think that just gives Wasp enough to do, and then she can have the, instead of giving Cassie the relationship with MODOK, I think the most impactful one would be to give it with Jack Hope, because I keep getting Hope and Janet's names confused. Because Hope's the one that sort of like was she was like dating him pretty much.
Who was dating Hope?
Hope was dating Darren, sort of.
Oh, kind of. Yeah, that would make sense.
So I think if you give them the relationship.
Yeah. And then he also has a huge relationship with Hank Pym, too.
Yeah,
That it kind of
exactly.
makes more sense for MODOK to go after them.
So are we separate? What if I'm trying to I think you need Janet, Hope, and Hank to arrive in the Quantum Realm together and then for them to split up.
Why do you think so?
Just so Hope and Hank have more to do. I think you can have Janet go do the Bill Murray stuff. And then she's like, I need you guys to go and do this, or I don't know. What if, as soon as they land, she sits them down, explains who Kang is, and then she goes, you guys need to go to the power source, and I need to go and talk to my friend for something else.
Is that, I don't feel like that would make sense. Like she wouldn't just like be like, okay,
Yeah.
bye. There's this guy who like is going to do everything he can in your power to kill you. Good
Yeah,
luck.
I don't know. I think you do need to split them up, though. And that's why I was kind of like, they go after, unless you go, Hank goes out, Hank lands by himself, and then he goes after the ants. And he's smart enough to like know enough about the Quantum Realm to get past, and he's been there before.
Well, and arguably, you could assume that the moment Hank lands in the quantum realm, the ants have been there for about like 10 years.
1,000 years, wasn't it?
By that point in the movie, yeah. But like, I mean, trying to adjust for time is weird, but like, you know, if we assume that like
I
every.
thought they fell through the port time vortex of when they arrived. They had already been there for 1,000 years. I mean, it doesn't matter, but that's how I think how it worked.
Oh yeah, sure.
Like,
You're right,
yeah.
you're right.
I like, yeah. But also, who cares? And it doesn't matter, you know?
Right, but like either way, like
Yeah. So what if Hank lands separately and then it's Janet and Hope together and then you get more Wasp stuff?
yeah, and you have like the two wasps.
Yeah, and then Hank goes after the ants.
Sure. Okay. I'm trying to think like what we do with it now. But then It would just be the Wasp and Janet fighting MODOK.
I think that. I think he goes after. Maybe he goes after Hank first and then goes after the other two, and Hank like escapes somehow. I don't know. Okay, he goes after Hope and Janet. Hope fights him off. He goes after Hank. Hank is almost killed by him, and then the ants save him.
Think maybe if anything, they spawn like Hank is alone, then MODOK comes, Hank radios for help, the Wasp hears him, gets him as fast as she can, but leaves Janet, and then Janet's
Yeah,
alone.
okay, that works. Yeah. Good idea. So the Wasps still do like the Bill Murray stuff and all that.
Yeah, sure.
But after that, instead of the sit down and explain Kang then, because she did it earlier on, yeah, then they go. Yeah, okay.
And then what about Scott and Cassie? Are they still doing the same thing?
I think there needs to be more conflict between them, but yes.
Let's try. How would you establish more conflict?
I think they just bicker more. I don't know. I think they just get along is the thing. I think, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I'm trying, I do agree they need to like bicker more, but I feel like they do kind of bicker a lot when they're down there at first.
They don't. I don't know. I don't think I would say they don't bicker. It's just Scott saying, don't do this. And then Cassie does this. And then Scott does nothing.
Right.
Think there needs to be more actual, like her being like, we need to go and save these people. And Scott is like, no. And then he leaves. And then Cassie runs off. And then whatever.
Yeah, I feel if Scott was a little bit more like scaredish. That's not the right word. That's not a word, but you know what I mean. Yes, and then they do that and blah blah blah. Then King finds them. Well then, okay, so now we have an issue of how do Ant-Man and Cassie get captured?
Just say, you can just say whatever, really. I think, what if Kang showed? I know you can't just say they were like taken over by those soldiers, that there was too many of them. I don't think it's like a difficult. Maybe they were bickering, and during their argument, like they weren't working together well enough, they lost.
Maybe like Cassie tries to do one of those jump and jab
Jump and
and
tap.
messes it up, and then like they capture Cassie and they have like a gun to her head and they're like forfeit or
Yeah.
die or she dies or something like that.
And then this scene goes differently, and Scott is offered to go back in time to start again with his daughter.
Does Cassie watch that happen?
I would say no.
Because it would be like two different things. Like if Cassie saw that happen and her dad, it would like if she saw that, she would essentially know that my dad doesn't like me
Yeah,
the way I
exactly.
am.
I would do it separately. And I think the thing about adding this into the plot does like make Scott a flawed character within this film as well.
Right, and then he's better at the end, which.
Yeah. And then I think in the scene when he gets the engine and then standing there, it's Kang, Cassie, Janet. I think Cassie finds out, is really annoyed. And then Kang goes to give the thing, sorry. Scott goes to give the thing to Kang. Janet talks him out of it. And then Kang just takes it anyway.
Right, and then it makes sense that he doesn't give Cassie back because Scott changed
Yeah,
his mind.
exactly.
Which felt like a little jarring to me. Like, I didn't necessarily, I wasn't like, oh,
I
King is a
agree.
good guy, but like, for him to switch on a dime like that, I don't, I mean, it makes sense. King isn't a good guy,
Yeah.
but it kind of just threw his sense of morals. Not, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of tricky. At that moment, the character that I had imagined Kang to be in my head wasn't him. It was a different.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I think also just before they go and attack the thing is when Hope reappears and she's like, oh, Dad will be here soon.
Yeah.
Just because you want her throughout the final battle. Okay, last thing I think we've got to fix is that ending.
Yes.
I don't think it'd be too difficult to sort out.
I think one issue I had was the idea that that character has killed several universes of Avengers is insane.
Yeah.
Like, Ant-Man was almost able to take him out.
Yeah, but you could make the argument that he didn't have all this technology and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But he had a lot of his technology.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know, but yeah.
I don't
think that's an issue with the film, personally. Like, I do get what you mean, and I thought the same thing. But I think that's kind of something you've just got to buy into.
Okay, sure.
I think you damage the time chair or something, because or whatever, or like you damage the time chair and he loses some of his power. And then the ants arrive, maybe something like that.
Yeah, I think that's a good time for like Janet to.
Janet, yeah. Janet like damages the power source somewhere, yeah.
Maybe like the power source she damages, like it breaks his helmet so he can't.
Yeah, maybe say she redirects the power source so Kang is weaker.
Yeah. I like
and
that.
And then you get the same thing with the ants. Every time I type Kang, it autocorrects to Dang.
The Wasp. Because I kind of like the idea. I like how Scott sacrifices himself in the end, and then the Wasp comes and joins him.
Yeah. But I think there's got to be a way to just bring them back to the. I think. Mate, just say, why can we not just say the portal didn't close straight away? And like they're able to jump for it just before it closes.
I'm or still not like, a fan of that though.
Or like someone like one of the quantum people sacrifices themselves and
Okay, this is just an idea. I think it would be interesting when Scott blows up the
power source.
The power source. If that explosion somehow brings them both back. I feel like something with that.
I think then you'd have a more definitive answer about whether Kang is alive or not, though. And I think, I don't know. I do like the Wasp going back.
Me too.
I do think something. First question before we figure that out is how do we improve this Scott Hope relationship?
Well,
to be honest, I've never really bought it.
Me either. I think, like, if anything, there could be like a moment of when the Wasp gets back together with Ant-Man, the first thing they do, they embrace and kiss. Like, that's it.
Have them kiss. They didn't even kiss at the end.
No.
Like, they got so close to kissing so many times. I don't know. I feel
it's
like
probably just, because Evangeline Lilly refused to get vaccinated.
Have them talk more, I think.
Yes, it's like act like they're actually a couple. Like that's like, literally it. There doesn't need to be
between each other. Because when do they talk? I can't think of a scene they talk to each other before this. Because even in the opening, it's just silent of them just him showing beers and then like Hope being like thumbs up. Let's go to the whatever that bridge is called. What's the bridge called? Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh yeah, look at you, talking your American landmarks. Maybe there could be some sort of tension where, like, the Wasp kind of low-key agrees with Cassie.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day,
she does, yeah.
she could just be like more happy with it. Like maybe the idea could be like the Wasp doesn't care that they're stuck in the quantum realm, that she just knows, like, you know what I mean? Like they're both like happy with each other now.
Yeah.
And then it feels cheap, them getting just stuck in the quantum realm and then just getting right back
I
out.
don't think you have the moment where I think there's a way to do it where the portal doesn't close or the door doesn't, like, there's no, I think you can do it where Scott tries to sacrifice himself and then Hope comes back and the door doesn't close and they're still, like, there's some version of that where, like, it doesn't, there's no moment where you're like, oh, they're trapped. I
Right.
think it would work if they're like, oh, they're about to be trapped and, like, they're still trying to sacrifice themselves. What if, okay, what if the point is, what if the point is something like Scott is holding back Kang and he's like, everyone get through the portal. And then Hope is like, no, we can do this together. And then somehow they tag team it. So Kang is like being held back still by both of them and they both get through the portal. Like they both shoot one of their grapply hook things.
Maybe a good idea is right, and then they're both holding back Kang, and then Scott uses all the Pym particles and explodes it, and how Kang was getting sucked in, they were both getting sucked in, and the portal was like starting to shrink, and then they're both like, and then they zoomed out of there and Kang was
And
left
Hope
behind.
gets out of there and grabs Scott.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, okay. And then what is it with the actual like epilogue? What changes there?
Well, I feel like if the epilogue stayed the same, because now during then, like Cassie and Scott and Hope, they were all happy, and that makes sense. I like that. I don't mind them being happy in the end, but it just didn't make sense when they were all happy in the beginning.
Yeah, I think you, yeah, that's true. I think we've changed the start enough. I think we just need to adjust the Scott celebrity thing a little bit, and then it'll be
And
fine.
also, I think, okay, so when I was complaining about how Scott was all like, oh, am I fine? Is Kang still alive? That worked the first time, but the second time it was like, why
Yeah,
are we
no,
doing
that's
this?
fine. That's true.
So I think just one.
Yeah,
So
just one.
are we keeping it at the end where he eats the cake?
I think the one in the street is quite funny because then I think
Me
the fact
too.
that he just fully forgets about it is quite funny.
I also agree.
Okay, so I think we just need to somehow address that Scott is now less of a celebrity thing. Because in the end, he's still walking down the street, waving at everyone and being like, hi. I don't know. I don't know what how you change it. Does he like cancel his book tour or?
See, this would be like an excellent Stan Lee cameo where he would be like, what do you mean he's not doing a second one?
I think the guy in the coffee shop is 100% Stan the Stan Lee cameo of this film.
Yeah.
Thank you, Spider-Man.
So what there, like, I think there's this easy way to do this where like it could be like his manager just being like, what do you mean you're not doing a second one?
Yeah.
Or maybe he
Scott.
could, or maybe
Go on.
what he does is he goes back to work for the ex-con business. And then we get all those guys. Or
What if,
that's a little bit
okay,
too
in the
much.
comics, in I believe it's the Unstoppable Ant-Man opens up a like a PI Heroes for Hire type business. Could you not end the film with him like getting into superheroing business in some way like that?
I think it would be a good mashup of him still contributing to the world while being able to stay safe and
Yeah, I can't remember what the he does it with a bear with like gr there's a I can't even remember the other like their other villains. No, they're not, they're like reformed villains. Ant-Man I don't know what to
Maybe
give
we
it.
could even get a She-Hulk cameo.
Sure, I mean, sure. Well, I don't even. I own the comic book, but it's not even here. Ant-Man business hero. Anyway, this is going to annoy me, but yeah. Oh yeah, okay. It's with Grizzly. I can find this now. Security salute. Oh, they do like private security stuff. Yeah, so that's where they got it from for the thing.
So if anything, I think like he could come back to their business or something and be like an
Yeah.
angel investor.
Ant-Man Security Solutions.
Okay, I think.
I think like doing some kind of business thing like that, like being a hero. And then
Right.
he can be like, oh, I'm now sticking up for the little guy. He
Right.
starts, he, yeah, he's okay. That's it. He's, we can bring back the gang. You're like, Scott refuses a book tour and goes back to his security company saying he's sticking up for the little guy.
Yeah.
How cute was the moment when Hank Pym was like, I read every word of your book.
Every goddamn word.
I think that's really good. I love Michael Douglas.
He was great in this movie.
Michael Douglas is great. He's, yeah. He's like, him and Kurt Russell are kind of interchangeable in my mind. And I don't mean that in an insult. I mean that as a compliment because I love them both. And it just upsets me. We'll never see Kurt Russell properly in the MCU again.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got it all written down. Should we go for it?
Yes.
Before we do, I just wanted to say, when we changed Thor the Dark World, we changed like two things. For this, we've had to do quite a lot of edits, and I don't think that makes it a worse film. I just think it's interesting.
That is interesting.
Did you prefer this or Love and Thunder? I think I prefer this.
I think I prefer this as well.
Hmm.
But I know I need to rewatch both.
Yeah. I was talking about this with Will on the way to the cinema. Like, my girlfriend hasn't seen Love and Thunder.
Okay.
Like, we'll go to watch a film, and she's like, oh, do you want to watch that? And every time I'm like, no. And just, I would rather watch Morbius than Love and Thunder, I think.
Really?
And, like, that's not me in any shape saying Morbius is a better film. I'm just saying I would get more enjoyment out of laughing at Morbius
that's
than I
fair.
would watching Love and Thunder, because I think Love and Thunder is just nothing. Okay. This is our rewrite. So the film starts in a lot of the same way, just there's a lot more conflict between Cassie and Scott, because Cassie thinks Scott should be a hero more, and Scott wants to hang out with his daughter more, and Hope agrees with Cassie, and Janet shares that there are people in the quantum realm which are in trouble because there's a threat down there. So Cassie sends down a signal to try and help them, but they all get sucked in. Hank lands separately from Hope and Janet, and he hears the signals from the futuristic ants, so he goes after them. And the Wasps do the Bill Murray stuff, and then MODOK attacks Hank, and Hope rushes over there to help him, getting the signal from Hope, leaving Janet to do her stuff by herself. And then Scott and Cassie have more conflict while they explore the quantum realm. And like, Cassie keeps trying to help people, and Scott's like, no, we just need to, you know, try and survive down here. And when the Kang's forces attack, Cassie goes to help and Scott tries to stop her, and then bickering and gets Cassie captured, and then Scott goes along just to, you know, save Cassie. When Kang arrives to like talk Scott into stealing him, they have the conversation separate from Cassie, and Scott is offered to start again with his daughter and travel back in time if he goes and steals the thing, and Scott agrees. Scott gets to the engine and he steals the orb in exactly the same way, because that's a good scene. And then Janet talks to him out of giving the orb back to Kang, because she basically explains, I did exactly the same thing and I turned down the same thing when Kang offered it to me. But Kang takes the orb anyway, and Cassie too, and leaves them there. And they get ready to invade, and the Wasp arrive. Hope arrives. Actually, Hope was there earlier because she has to be there for the stealing of the thing. I think she
yes.
reappears then. And Hope arrives, and the battle goes pretty much the same way. And she's like, "Oh, my dad's gonna show up too." And just before, and just as Kang descends to join in the battle, and then he kills all the people, and then Hank arrives with all the ants, and then Janet does something with the orb, which redirects some of Kang's power, making him weaker. He gets overtaken by the ants. And then the same ending happens when the portal opens. Kang appears, and Scott pushes Cassie through, and Scott is trying to hold Kang back, and he's like, "Close the portal, everyone go." And Hope stays, and he's like, "No, we can hold him back together." And they push him into the engine thing, and it starts whoosh, sucking him in, and it starts sucking Scott in too. And then Hope saves him, and they both get out, and Kang gets sucked in, and everyone thinks he's dead. And then there's just one "Is Kang Dead" moment at the end. And then in the ending montage, Scott refuses a book tour and goes back to his security company, saying he's got to stick up for the little guy.
And then the same end credit scene.
And then they say, "Are those end credits?" I think I liked both end credit scenes. I think they were both
Me
very
too. Okay, so what would you rate the original Ant-Man the Wasp Quantumania out of 10?
good. Like a six, maybe. I don't know.
I gave it
I
a
need to think about it.
6.5.
I need to think about it more, because like I just watched the film. What would you rate this one?
I think this one is like a good 9 out of 10.
I was
Like, I
gonna
don't
say
want to
nine.
toot our own horn, but
Yeah, I think, you know, we've addressed, and like, yeah, I think MODOK stays the same, just he has the relationship with Hope as well, as what we did say. I think it, like, the parts of the film stay intact. I mean, it would still look pretty crap, but I think, like, I mean, No Way Home doesn't look as bad as this, but No Way Home looks pretty crap. But no one cares, because that's an amazing film, you know?
right. But yeah, this movie did look a little crap at times.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Yeah. Anyway, I think, what are we doing next week? I don't even know what's like what we could do next. We could, I think st it should be a guest's
It should
best.
be. Who will we have on? Nobody knows. Woo!
Me, I'll be here.
No. I guess. I'll see if that'll work for it with me.
Okay, cool. Check your schedule. Anyway, guys,
Okay.
thanks for listening. Adios.
Oh, wait. We didn't talk about my favorite Ting variant in the end credit scene.
Oh, gone.
It's the one where he had like a long mustache and he
Oh,
was
yeah.
going, "Mamma mia, it's a me, Kang the Conqueror."
I think, okay, can someone recut the Victor Timely one, and it's like Paolo Gucci on the stage, and he's like, "What? Do not confuse shit with chocolato." And then
Boof.
you just cut to Mobius, and he's like, "You said this was some kind of scary guy."
Just goes, "Intriguing." Oh, wait,
Intrigue.
sorry, that's Morbius.
No.